morning. Lovely to see you all here this morning. What a lovely offering that we've got to send to the food bank and to the crisis center, an expression of our thankfulness. And well, what we're discussing this morning, as Andy has already said, abounding in thanksgiving, the last part of our church verse for the year. Well, in September, November, and December, all in this last term of the calendar year, contain certain days of thankfulness and thanksgiving. This month, in September, we celebrate and thank God for the harvest. In November, we remember and give thanks for those who fought to defend the many liberties we enjoy today, among them freedom of religion, those who fought in the world wars. And in December, we celebrate and we thank God for sending Jesus at Christmas. And Christians, according to the last part of the church verse for 2017, are to be abounding in thanksgiving. I went to see the film Dunkirk this week, and that certainly made me thankful for those brave men who fought in World War II. The sacrifices they were willing to make, the stories of their bravery. It makes us respond in thankfulness, doesn't it? But what is it that we are to be thankful for as Christians? And how ought we to be thankful? Well, first of all, we'll see that we should be giving thanksgiving in prayer. So, our church verse, where is it from? Someone? It's from Colossians, the letter to the Colossians. And it's important we bear in mind the context of the letter before we move on. So, 1 verse 1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's Paul and Timothy, two leaders in the early church in the first century AD, are writing to the Christians in Colossae, which is found in modern-day Turkey. And it's reckoned that Timothy was probably the scribe for this letter. Okay, verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So when Paul and Timothy pray for the Colossians, they always thank God. Why? Verse 4. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. They thank God because the people that they are writing to have come to faith. According to our historical understanding, it appears that Paul never actually went to Colossae. He didn't establish the church there. But that a bloke called Epaphras, great name, who heard the gospel in Ephesus, heard it and he went back to his hometown, Colossae, and told everyone there. And this means that Paul and Timothy are thanking God for the Colossians' response to the gospel, even though they've never met them, they have no idea what they look like, who they are, and do not know them at all. Are we so thankful for those people that we know and love, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, who we see every day or every week? If Paul and Timothy are always thanking God for the strangers that they've never met, for how they've come to faith, shouldn't we be doing the same for each other here? Isn't that the least is expected of us? How to be abounding in thanksgiving? Thank God for how he brought so-and-so to faith. Thank God for how God has brought your brothers and sisters in this church to faith. If you don't know how they came to faith, ask them. It gives great fodder for thankfulness. It's just one way to be abounding in thanksgiving. But Paul and Timothy's thanks to God are not just that the Colossians have come to faith, but it's also for how their faith is working out in their lives. So the second, well, verse 4 again. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. So there's also, Paul and Timothy, their thanks is for the love that the Colossians have for all of God's people. because the Colossians have come to faith, they love one another. It's the natural response. It springs from the hope stored up for them in heaven. And so my question for us and for myself, could Paul and Timothy have thanked God for our love for one another as a church? Is there that love? Love covers over a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Do the way that we love and bear with one another prompt thankfulness and thanksgiving in others? Just a side thought there. But Paul and Timothy's example is not just for thanksgiving for the salvation of other people. In verses 9 to 11, and we won't have these on the screen, but Paul has essentially asked that God would give the Colossians the strength to be keep walking in him, to be rooted, built up, and established in the faith. And then he says this in verse 12. So he's asked for the strength, and then says that they would be giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Now, it seems common sense, perhaps, but it's worth restating. There should be joyful thanks, not just for how God saved so-and-so, but for how he saved us, how God saved me. I love these verses. If you read this passage later, you'll see it sort of flows straight through. Paul can't hold it in. Timothy the scribe, you know, struggling to keep up. Paul is just pouring out of him as the Holy Spirit breathes through him, breathes out his word. Verse 13, he carries on, "For he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And here's the gospel. It's the good news. No wonder he's so excited. Gospel meaning good news, of course. Well, what is the gospel from those verses? It's a rescue. Now, people who aren't in danger don't need rescuing. You don't call the fire brigade before the cat stuck up the tree. And so if it's a rescue, it's a rescue from something. The dominion of darkness is the way it's put in the verses. And that's the bad news before the good news. The bad news that makes the good news so good. And it's this: by our natural human nature, we do not love God. We are in the dominion of darkness. He created everything. However you think that happened, 7 days, Big Bang, evolution, whatever you think, God made everything. That's the important thing. The sky and everything in it. The sea and everything in it. The land and everything on it. Space and everything in it. God made it. But instead of worshipping God, human beings have been deceived into worshipping the things of the world. Rather than worshipping the Creator, creation is worshipped. It looks different in each person's life. The worship of scientific truth, celebrity culture, consumerism, whether that's by gaining more possessions or an obsession with just watching just the next episode, in that pursuit of self-worth and meaning. Mankind has been plunged into darkness, groping about, looking for fulfillment and peace, love and meaning, but never finding it. Blind and hopeless, lost and empty. But then came a rescuer. The Son who God loves. And he picks us up. And he takes us out of the darkness. And he brings us into his kingdom of light. Light that shows us that God is the Creator. The one who deserves to be worshipped and followed. In whom we can find all that we cannot in the world. Fulfillment and peace are in Christ. Love and meaning under his light. We were blind before, but now we see. When we were in the darkness, we were full of sin. But in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came and he died on the cross, paying the price for us. That's what the word redemption means. Paying the price, paying the debt. So that he could take us out of the darkness and bring us into the light. And it's simply by faith in Jesus, that by believing on what he did on the cross is able to save you, and asking him to save you, that you can be brought from darkness to light. It's just by faith in Jesus. He's done it all. All we must do is put our faith in him. And faith in itself is a gift from God. God gives us a gift to receive the gift. That's what we were talking about last night, guys, wasn't it? And so I ask you, have you? If so, if you have in faith received Christ Jesus as your Lord, then thank God. He's saved you. It's nothing to do with what you've done, and everything to do with what he's done. Surely God deserves all of the thanks. Make sure you give it to him. And if your faith is not in Jesus, have you realized yet how empty the world is? In itself, it cannot satisfy you. Not by having more money, more food or drink, not by more holidays, pleasures, sex, or success. None of it can satisfy. Have you realized it yet? Maybe you have, but you just won't acknowledge it. Jesus holds out the way for you to find fulfillment and satisfaction, to find a love and a joy unlike any other. Let go of the world, stop groping in the darkness, and be brought into the light. I get it, we love the darkness. We love to hide our sins, bits of ourselves, those guilty pleasures, but the light is better. Yes, it shows up our sins. It shows up that the way we live is not the way we ought to live. But there's forgiveness, freely offered. He can take all your sin away. It's not about us. It's about him. So thanksgiving in prayer for the faith of others, our brothers and sisters, and for the faith that God has given you, if he has. Thanksgiving and prayer. Two ways to be abounding in thanksgiving and prayer. Which then brings us to the end of our church verse. Here's the whole thing. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Now, we have an abundance of many things in the rich West. Clothes, food, drink, entertainment, abounding in free text messages on our mobile phone contracts with Three. But thanksgiving? I think rather than being abounding in thanksgiving, we are abounding in moaning. And I can say that in confidence because I know I am often abounding in grumbles and complaints. But if Paul and Timothy, as inspired by God, say we ought to be abounding in thanksgiving, what should we be doing? Well, we've seen how we can be thankful in prayer, but in the moment of the moan, when thanksgiving seems very far away from your heart, what then? A human philosopher at this point will refer to the highest source of authority in these things. Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. It's snowing still, said Eeyore gloomily. Eeyore gloomily. So it is. And freezing. Is it? Yes, said Eeyore. However, he said, brightening up a little, we haven't had an earthquake recently. I mean, is that how we ought to cope? I'm afraid that's pretty much the best the world can offer. It could be worse. There's plenty more fish in the sea. No one will remember anyway. Look, those are reasons that might sometimes help us to turn from moans to cheers, but our authority isn't children's literature or pub advice. Our authority is Scripture. And so what does Scripture say about this? Well, later in the letter to the Colossians, in chapter 3 and verse 17, we read this: "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." All things can be done as an act of thanks and praise if it is done in the name of the Lord Jesus. The thing you would moan about can be done for Jesus and be thanksgiving. Empty the dishwasher. That can be thanksgiving. Now, to qualify this, it is not true that you can sin in the name of the Lord Jesus. You can't rob a bank in the name of the Lord Jesus and that somehow be thanksgiving. So long as what you are doing does not violate God's revealed will in his word, then you can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and turn even the most mundane of tasks into an act of thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving, not just while singing in church or during your quiet time, but whenever, wherever you are. You are not serving men. You serve God. It is the name of Jesus you lift high, not your own, in whatever work you do. When Paul and I spend hours studying God's word, that is no more serving God than your office job, on a job somewhere, on a job site, at home looking after the kids, caring for your friends and your family in retirement. That is no more or no less serving God than what Paul and I do. You get to serve God, the Almighty One, the King of creation, who could achieve what he wants on earth without you anyway, but he chooses to use you, and you can serve him. Isn't that a reason to be abounding in thanksgiving? Whatever your job. Scrubbing the toilet is as sacred as preaching a sermon if you do it in the name of Jesus. That is not a gimmick, that is true. Do you believe it? Christian, you serve no man, but the God-man, Jesus Christ. The one who came to save you. Isn't that wonderful? Abound in thanksgiving. A human boss might not see your hard work, but God sees it all. But what about when it's more than something we might moan about? Sadness and anguish, difficulty and distress, when thanksgiving seems so far away from your heart. What then? The best place, in fact the only place, to find reasons for thanksgiving in these moments of suffering is in the Word of God. It's a discipline. You can't just randomly fling your Bible open and expect to be driven to thanks and praise. You could find yourself in a long genealogy. And don't get me wrong, there are reasons for praise and thanks in the genealogies, but it takes a lot longer to get to. Look at the Psalms. Look to how Job responded to his very real suffering. See the end of Habakkuk. Feed on the word. How is it that Paul and another early church leader, Silas, could sing God's praises in their prison cell, even though they'd been beaten and their untreated wounds were exposed to the cold, molding innermost cell of a prison? How is it that God could write as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving, while he was in prison? The end of Colossians, chapter 4, 18. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. He's in prison as he writes this. How can they be thankful? Thanksgiving finds its root at the cross, in what Jesus has done for anyone who puts their faith in him. Despite all of our sin and shame, he loved us enough to deal with it for us. And so if your faith isn't in him, you will never be able to be truly thankful. Come to him and discover true thankfulness. When what you are grappling with seems to be much more than you can cope with, too hard for you. And so thanksgiving seems miles and miles away. Read the Word. Have passages that you are ready to turn to in preparation for hard times. They will come. But there is comfort to be found and reasons for thanksgiving even in the worst. Better still, memorize them and be abounding in thanksgiving, whatever your circumstance. So we've seen then that in prayer we have reason to thank God for His work in others and His work in our own lives, knowing that it is by faith alone, in Christ alone, that we can be saved. We have seen that we ought to be abounding in thanksgiving, that we can do all things in Jesus' name and be thankful, that in whatever circumstance we are in, we will find reasons to be abounding in thanksgiving only in the Word. Thanksgiving is the not-so-secret to Christian growth. See, as you're built up in faith, you become established. As you become established, you abound in thanksgiving. And because you're abounding in thanksgiving, you want to be built up more, and so you're built up and you're established. And then you're thanksgiving. It's growth. Do you have thanksgiving? If you're not growing in your faith, could that be the missing link? May God grant for the rest of 2017 and beyond that we as a church who have received Christ Jesus the Lord would continue to walk in Him, to be rooted and built up in Him, to be established in the faith, just as we were taught, and abounding with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You are so awesome and majestic. Your name is above every other name. Father, we would not be able to cease to sing Your praise if we could see You for how You truly are. Father, thank You for bringing us from the dominion of darkness into Your kingdom of light. Thank You that by Your death on the cross You've made redemption. You've paid the debt of our sins so that we can be in the light and rejoice in You. Father, fill us with thanksgiving. We have so many reasons for it. We need You to open our eyes to it. Father, thank You for how You've brought my brothers and sisters here to faith, how You've worked in their lives. Father, thank You for how You've worked in my life. Thank You that in everything we can serve You, and so be thankful whatever we do. Thank You that in whatever circumstance we can find in Your Word reasons for thanksgiving. You are truly great, truly awesome. We would give You all the praise and the honor and the glory and the power. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.